This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
The legend of Area 51. It was featured also in the movie Independence Day, although, of course, they had some of the dates wrong, but then it was only a movie. Nick Redfern, go on, please.
Well, yeah, what I was saying is that Eric Davis was contracted by the U.S. Air Force to research the feasibility or otherwise of telepathy, teleportation, and whether or not, you know, something along the lines of like Star Trek and The Fly would ever be, you know, even remotely feasible. And that work was done for the U.S. Air Force, but that particular branch of the Air Force also has a small office on what's called the Nevada Test and Training Range, the NT and TR. Now, the NT and TR is this gigantic piece of land. You know, Area 51 is big enough in itself, but Area 51 is built within the NT and TR, and they have a small office of the same organization that was using or had an interest in teleportations. That's why I mentioned that in the book, because we know that there is this office, or was this office out at Area 51, then almost certainly they would have, you know, been given access to what the other part of the organization was doing in Dayton, Ohio, at Wright-Patterson. Almost certainly they would have been made aware of the whole teleportation angle as well. And you often find that, you know, the work itself, like, for example, you know, the building and construction of things like the U-2 and the stealth fighter and the stealth bomber, you know, that's not done by employees of Area 51. You know, that's done by companies like Lockheed, you know. And so, in other words, the technical side of all this is farmed out to private corporations and private facilities who sign, you know, extremely iron-fisted non-disclosure documentation, so they won't talk about it. So, in other words, that's how things very often happen, like with Eric Davis, where the contract is farmed out rather than done within the facility. And if it's seen and perceived as being valid and it's going to work, then it's undertaken. We know that a bunch of research and secret flights of the stealth fighter and the stealth bomber were undertaken at Area 51, but they were never, quote, built at Area 51. You know, and that's one of the important things. Area 51 was very often the recipient of high technology, but not the creator of it.
And there were, if I'm not mistaken, a number of UFO reports that could be attributed to secret projects there, including the U-2 and the A-12. They came out, like the CIA files, where they actually say that these were radar contacts, though. They weren't visual, but there would be some aircraft or unknown target flying in from some secret mission at, you know, relatively impossible speeds for your normal radar operator. And they're going, okay. And apparently quite a few of those were logged as UFO reports.
You know, people often think it has more validity when the radar operators tracked it and they nobody knew what it was. Well, that doesn't mean it was an alien spacecraft. It means that somebody was flying something that the base that was tracking it had no knowledge of and had no need to know either. So in other words, just because sometimes military personnel track strange things on radar systems flying very high and very fast, it doesn't mean it's not one of ours. It means that particular person working that radar system, it hasn't been cleared on the fact that somebody is engaged in like a secret test flight of some new radical aircraft. And it may actually work to their advantage to see how the radar operators do respond. Do they sort of get into a state of excitement and screw up and whatever? Or do they think they've seen a UFO? And, you know, you can gauge a lot from you know, saving people's reactions when it comes to how they respond to things like this. So again, you have the psychological angle and the fact of knowing you have the ability to test fly something at fantastic speeds and heights, and you don't have to worry because even the radar operators are going to write it off as a UFO and probably tell their grandkids 50 years later about how their granddad saw a UFO, that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes perfect sense. These days, it's who knows what they have, Nick. I mean, would we even know if it was a real alien craft now, do you think, or what? How would we even know anymore? Back in the 50s or the 40s, maybe even into the 60s, you could think, well, you know, it's not likely that some sort of advanced aircraft is going to be able to pull off some of the maneuvers that we've heard with UFOs. But these days, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, the problem is we don't really know the current state of the really sort of high-tech technology. I mean, to give you an example, when the stealth bomber and the stealth fighter were rolled out in the latter part of the 1980s, the fact of the situation is both of those aircraft have been test flown out at Area 51 as early as 81, and the original prototype for the stealth fighter was test flown in 1975. So if you look at it like that, sort of 75 through to 89, when we're today, you know, almost in 2019, and we're seeing technology that we know exists in 2019, but it may mean that somebody is flying technology that we won't see till about 2035 or whatever, or 2025 or 2030, whenever, you know, 15, 20 years from now. So when people say it has to be a UFO because the government doesn't have anything like that or we're not seeing it, well, that doesn't mean someone isn't test flying it somewhere, you know, at a restricted level. You know, when we talk about how expansive and how extensive is our high-tech technology today in relation to aircraft, well, it could be massively advanced, but we're just not going to see it until somebody decides to roll it out as they did with the stealth fighters. You know, we're kind of bound by what we see.
You know, I wanted to ask you, Nick, about this. Obviously, the Corso book talks of reversed engineered technology from Roswell. Obviously, there are legitimate explanations for terrestrial development of night vision goggles, etc. But do you think at all that anything that we have might have been reverse engineered from alien technology, or would we even be able to recognize it?
Well, I mean, you can never rule it out, I guess. But the problems I have is with the Corso story is that it's too clean and too perfect. You know, you've got this guy who's brought into this program, and literally within a couple of years, not only have we understood the alien technology, but we've duplicated it with night vision equipment, fiber carbon, so on, carbon fiber, excuse me, and, you know, things like, what else did he talk about? Sort of memory metal as well, you know, and so
microprocessors, the whole bit. I mean, he just tells us everything that the tinfoil hat wearing UFO conspiracy nuts want to hear. It's perfect. Let's just tell them that that's what happened, and they'll just lap it right up. And I'm sorry, I just can't put myself into that role.
No, that's the problem with the Corso story. Is that it is so smooth and to the point and telling people exactly what they want to hear. And on top of that, you know, this guy did this not only almost on his own by feeding it out to defense companies and conveniently being able to do so without those people finding out it was alien, and doing it in an extremely quick time as well.
Yeah, breaking a moment, Nick. I just wanted to throw an observation out. I'm just thinking about this here, how the book actually reads very much like a fiction novel. But then, of course, Bill Burns wrote true crime stuff. Anyway, you got Nick Redfern. We're talking about Area 51 and reverse engineering and all that stuff with Gene and Nick. And Randall, you're in
the Pattercast.
of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. Join American Cannabis Summit online at acs2018.com. Attendance is free. That's acs2018.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I'm 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We got we're not trying to have a vocal group here. I don't know if we have anybody who comes in the Paracast regularly who is a singer. I don't know. Of course, some people may surprise me. I know, obviously, Chris O'Brien was not so much a singer as somebody who played a musical instrument. But there you go. Anyway, we have Nick Redfern, and I'm not looking for his hit record unless he actually has a hit record out there that we know nothing about.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that either.
That's actually an interesting... Is any of your stuff on the audiobooks, Nick?
Yeah, there's... Well, I think 10 or 15 are available on Audible, and 5 or 6 you can get on CDs, like in box sets of CDs as well.
Well, that's really good, because a lot of people really just like listening, and you have such an interesting way of describing the stories. It's that's really good to know.
I don't do the readings.
Oh, okay.
I refused to do that. It was just too difficult, and I just didn't have the patience to do it. You know, it was just too much. So I was like, get a real person who can do this, who does this as a living. And they actually, that's what they did, and he does a really good job of it as well. And I just could not sit down and read an entire book. You know, you got to make a mistake, and you got to go back again, and that would just drive me insane. You know.
When you were talking about the teleportation stuff earlier, just to briefly go back there, was there any hint of a link between that and something like the Philadelphia experiment, or are we talking about two totally separate things?
Well, I do mention that. Essentially to talk about the alleged claims of how the government in previous years have allegedly, you know, sort of dabbled into the field of teleportation and things like that. For the most part, I sort of, you know, focus on the more latter-day stuff because there is this, as I said, there is this connection with the Nellis test and training range, you know, as it relates to Area 51. So it's one of these things where it's a snippet of a story, but it's one that's worth telling, you know. And you know, when it comes to Area 51, I'm never sort of really sure if we'll ever really get the answers as to what's going on out there. But I think maybe there could well be people out there who want it like that. They want the intrigue and the mystique because it allows them to essentially run a lot of weird programs, which some people will buy into, you know, somebody from Chinese intelligence may buy into it, and in the process, you know, somebody gets reeled in, nobody got hurt, no real secrets were compromised, but we've got new assets who work for us, or, you know, you get 80 years in the slammer or whatever.
So are there really hollowed out chambers, tunnels, and hidden underground facilities out there? I mean, we've heard stories where somebody might be watching, somehow they've gotten access to be able to see this well enough where the side of a mountain will open up and something will come flying out of it.
Well, I think the truth of this is somewhere between the two. I mean, a number of legitimate and genuine people, credible people have come forward to say that, you know, what you see on the surface is actually only a part of it, and there are sort of several other levels, you know, and each level might be of a height of sort of 20 feet. So, you know, it's all quite feasible in that sense. If you've got sort of three or four, you know, different levels, and each one sort of 20 feet, you're talking about levels that go down maybe 100 feet, and that's it, you know. So we're not talking, as some people have suggested, you know, where you've got, you know, sort of underground installations where there's half a million people and, you know, they go down 40 miles and, you know, caverns and caves. I don't think it's like that. But there is good enough data to suggest that there are fairly deeply buried and protected underground facilities where possibly they could even withstand like a nuclear strike. You know, they're so deeply buried. But a couple of hundred feet with today's technology is quite feasible. But I don't think we're talking about, as some people have said, where there's tunnels going from Area 51 to the Dugway Proving Ground and then to directly under the Pentagon or whatever. I don't believe any of that that's going on, but I think that's just way too...
Right. Of course, this is, you know, what some people might call the most well-known secret facility in the world. So you've got to know that they've got other ones in other places. We know that they've got islands, for example, off the coast of California and off the coast of Florida, where people, compared to Area 51, they've never even heard of them or know that they're there. What other facilities are there out there that you've run across that you could tell us about?
Well, I mean, certainly within the United States, you've got the Dugway Proving Ground in Utah, which is easily as much of a fortress as is Area 51. A lot of weird stuff goes on there, sort of, you know, chemical and biological research, that kind of thing. And but there've been a lot of, over the years, there've been a lot of UFO activity over the Dugway Proving Ground. And, you know, it does have a long history in relation to the UFO subjects as well. And when you look into it, you know, you could arguably make a case that it's sort of, I guess, like, you know, Area 51's little brother or even bigger brother, you know, but it's arguably we know far more about Area 51 than we do about Dugway. You know, we know what goes on there, and there have been weird things occasionally with, you know, sheep found dead in the area back in the 60s, for example. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on along those lines. But there have also been rumors, for example, about dead aliens at Dugway. Now, one of these stories actually came from a named individual, Colonel George Weinbrenner. And he was the chief of the Foreign Technology Division at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base for a number of years between the 60s and the 70s. And he made what you call like a few brief allusions to the fact that we, and I'm quoting him here, we have five aliens in Utah. A number of researchers have suggested that those five aliens in Utah are the Roswell bodies kept at Dugway rather than keeping them at Area 51. And that's one of the theories that some researchers have, that the, quote, good stuff has been transferred from Area 51 to Dugway, and what's available now at Area 51 is just purely conventional stuff, and it, you know, it's a diversionary kind of ploy. I don't think that's all it is, but I mean, it'd be interesting, you know, to sort of ponder on the idea that some of the more secretive stuff is now handled elsewhere, but somebody's happy to convince people, continue to convince them that it's done out of Area 51.
Right, and this Dugway, I mean, for people who don't know, that's in Utah, and it's basically its own whole dreamland type of an area. It covers over 3,200 square kilometers, larger than the state of Rhode Island.
It's a gigantic place, and I mean, a lot of it as well is just land that you're just not able to access. You know, it's not, a lot of it isn't just the proving ground itself. It's like the 10 or 15 miles that no one's allowed to go into, you know, to even get that far.
One thing that gets me about all of this, though, okay, I just have a really hard time believing that if they've got...
Let's say we finish that question in our next segment. We have another question from Randall, waiting in the wings, more to come with Randall, Gene, and Nick, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The partial federal shutdown is expected to drag on through Christmas. President Trump and congressional leaders are still stuck in a standoff over his border wall with Mexico. The Senate has adjourned, but could be called back at any time if there's a deal. USA's Rick Vincent has more on the story.
Speaking on the Senate floor, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said no further votes will occur until the President and Senate Democrats have reached an agreement to resolve this.
Push the pause button until the President, from whom we will need a signature, and Senate Democrats, from whom we will need votes, reach an agreement.
Chuck Schumer then took to the Senate floor and told the president he has to give up on his $5 billion wall. He says there were three proposals on the table, two from Democrats and one from Republicans.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to The Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
One more segments with the one, the only, Nick Redfern. Accept no substitutes. Let us proceed, sir. Randall, you're going to ask a question.
Yes, I was just about to ask before the break there, if they really did have all of this reverse engineered alien technology going for them now, since even the 80s, say it took them that long to get the stuff from the 40s up and running, how come they're still spending billions of dollars on F-35s? Why aren't we actually seeing anti-gravity powered, instant changing direction types of technology? Are they really spending billions of dollars just to fool us into thinking that we don't know how to do it?
Yeah, that's an important point, because that is one of the big questions. If you've got flying saucers, if you've got anti-gravity craft, why bother sending conventional aircraft and troops to the Middle East when you could just be there in a second and just, you know, bring everything to a halt within a few days, you know, that kind of thing? So this does make me wonder. There's two possibilities. One is that things like anti-gravity craft and reproductions of alien spacecraft really don't exist, and that's why we don't use them. The other possibility, which is more conspiratorial, is that, well, what if this technology does exist, but rather than being owned and controlled by the US government, it's actually sort of controlled by what we call like a shadow government, you know, that the elected government isn't aware fully of what's going out at Area 51, and it's its own environment, you know, and it doesn't answer to anyone other than itself. You know, the idea of like a secret government within the government is sitting on this for whatever purpose, you know, maybe things, controversial issues like the so-called secret space program. You know, people talk about, well, why are we still using, you know, old-style rockets, you know, with fuel? If you look at all the advances in science, in medicine, in technology, you know, in all sorts of areas, you know, but when it comes to rocketry, we're still using sort of basically like blunt force rocket technology. So some researchers think, well, that's actually not what's going on, that we really have gone ahead in leaps and bounds but we don't want to reveal this technology yet. But of course, the big question is, well, why wouldn't they? I mean, what's wrong with giving us all anti-gravity technology instead of having to be cramped on a 737, you know, for 10 hours on a flight or whatever? You know, what's the harm? And that, and admittedly, I don't have the answer to that question. I don't have the answer as to why, if it's our technology or somebody else's technology that we've developed, why not just tell us, you know, what's the big deal? So it is an odd situation. All I can say for sure is that, you know, we know that certain radical-looking aircraft at Area 51 were once hidden for 10, 15 years. The Stealth Fighter, as I said, the first prototype and design of it was 1975. It wasn't released till 89. There was no real reason it couldn't have been put out then. So maybe we're looking at something like that. For whatever reason, somebody's saying we don't need to put the good stuff out until, you know, the you-know-what hits the fan. Maybe that's what it is. If we ever sort of find ourselves in a real severely bad confrontation with another power, maybe we will then unleash it then. But unless that happens or we don't need it, let's just keep it hidden away. And then if things do happen, we're going to blow their mind and they'll surrender immediately, that kind of thing.
That's not happening with new technology the same way it was happening with technology out of the 60s, where there was this large gap between what they had and what people knew about. You know, with the F-35s, for example, they were known about and they talked about in terms of design back in 2013 and 14, and they've got a projected service life up into 2070. So now if we're talking all the way up to 2070, where we're still using jets, we're using internal combustion engines still, we're nowhere near this anti-gravity type technology, and to keep two separate programs of that kind of expense going just to fool people into thinking that, you know, you don't have that technology, it just doesn't seem to be reasonable to me. I think I'd go with your first answer in that, well, they really just don't have them.
Yeah, I think of the two, that is the bigger likelihood. But it doesn't mean, you know, they aren't Tesla and extremely radical, weird things. I think they are. But, you know, that's a big difference than saying, you know, they're making two-hour flights to Mars and back, you know, that kind of thing, which I don't believe is happening at all. But if it was proven to be the case, I wouldn't fall down in a dead faint either, you know what I mean? So, but I don't think we're doing that. But I think it's more likely somebody may want certain other nations and countries to believe that, or at least suspect that, you know, oh, the US has got something that if we ever try anything, they're going to reel it out and we're done for. You know, I think that scenario could be the correct one. But the problem is, you know, come back to ufology. Ufologists, you know, a lot of people in the field want to hear stories about aliens at Area 51. They don't want to hear about, you know, I know this because I've talked about it at lectures. You know, sometimes you can just see a change and a vibe in the person when you go from talking to about aliens and crashed UFOs and you start talking about stealth planes and classified aircraft. You know, sometimes the eyes glaze over. It's like, I'm not interested, dude. Don't want to hear about the Greys and Roswell and back engineering. And I think whoever's running these disinfo programs and counterintelligence programs, they absolutely understand the mindset of people in ufology. It's what Greg Bishop, a good friend of mine, Greg calls it UFO porn. Basically, the exciting stuff that people in ufology want to hear, and that's all they want to hear. But a lot of people in ufology want to hear exciting tales of crashed UFOs and alien autopsies. They don't want to hear that some of the most cherished UFO cases may have been born out of counterintelligence programs and classified aircraft. And I think not only do they recognize that, they realize that the community is easily influenced and can be influenced, various espionage-based programs and so on. You know, a lot of people in ufology don't recognize that that's part of ufology. That's just that spy stuff, you know.
No, I just want to get back to it. I'm reverse
kind of question, and we will take this to the next segment, the final segment with Nick Redfern. We're talking here about the U.S. doing stuff to spook the Russians. And, of course, we have all the stories about the Russians meddling in elections. So I'll ask you, and we'll hold the answer to the next segment because it's too involved. What about the Russians pulling stuff to make us think we see UFOs, to create UFO stories in the way they also create stories about things that affect our politics? We'll ask Nick to respond to that in our final segment. I want to remind you we have our second radio show after the PowerCast, which is color commentary, special interviews, continued interviews over the last couple of months. We've done part two on After the PowerCast. The only way you can get that show is to subscribe to the PowerCast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com. And remember, prices start at just $1.49 a week, our price cheap. If you go for a five-year or lifetime subscription, we give you free stuff. Who doesn't want free stuff? And Nick will continue this discussion on this weekend's After the PowerCast. More to come with Nick Redfern, Gene Steinberg, J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the PowerCast.
Visit GCNLive.com today.
As you know, neighbors, web hosting can be pretty cheap, but not all hosting is the same. DreamHost wins best of awards year after year. You get unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and even the low-cost plans put your sites on high-performance SSDs. Want to know more about what DreamHost has to offer? Go to technightowl.com/host. Once again, that's technightowl.com/host.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go. With water filtration systems of every size for every budget, now GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
You haven't experienced yogurt until you've tried Amasi, embodying health and flavor in a true whole milk, green-fed dairy beverage. Every sip pays homage to our old-world cows and the ancient culturing methods their milk benefits from. With over 30 probiotics, Amasi's undeniably nutritious, refined, cultured sensation bolsters your health and awakens your passion for dairy. Amasi's so good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving.
If you've been in business more than 20 minutes, you've probably printed your logo on all kinds of promotional products. We all know logos work because they're on everything from the top of skyscrapers to the bottom of shoes. Ever wondered why or how to best use your logo to grow your business? Let us show you today for free. We're 4imprint, promotional product experts at your service. We're giving away the latest issue of Amplify, the digital magazine that reveals promotional product success stories absolutely free to everyone who texts UP77 to 88988. At 4imprint, we make your logo look perfect on thousands of promotional items. With our 100% guarantee, it'll be right the first time, on time, every time. Your free e-magazine will reveal invaluable insights that can attract new customers, build your brand, and grow your business. Get the latest issue of Amplify absolutely free by texting UP77 to 88988. That's UP77 to 88988.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I think Nick is trying to...
How do I do that?
He has no vibrato, by the way. You noticed that. But I think he's just thinking of old Beatles records where they had songs that just went on and on and on. Like
you're a non-smoker, but that's what that is. I mean,
okay, Nick Redfern. The question I asked is the reverse. We want to spook the Russians. Will the Russians, or have they, possibly create a UFO-related stuff to spook the Americans?
Well, it just so happens in April or thereabouts, I have a new book out called UFOs and the Kremlin, and the subtitle is Russian meddling and flying saucers. So the answer is yes.
Is this another new book on top of the Area 51? When is this?
Yeah, this will be out in about April, something like that.
Oh, well, I guess just ask and you shall receive.
It actually focuses on things like, for example, the Spitsbergen story, where the NSA was looking into the possibility that it wasn't just a story or reality, that the Russians were using this as some sort of bizarre psyop to have the Americans think that possibly they'd recovered, that the Russians had recovered a crashed UFO, and hence that plant wording in the documents. I also got a bunch of interesting documents on George Adamski from the FBI, where Adamski was talking about, basically, you know, talking about how the Space Brothers were communists and communism was the way of the future. And the FBI actually wondered if Adamski had been sort of turned and was being used by the Kremlin to essentially spread the word that the aliens were communist as a means to sort of provoke unease in the United States. And the reason why they thought that was because why he'd been approached was because his first book, Flying Saucers Had Landed, actually sold. Well, you see, that and his second book, in their first printing, sold close to a quarter of a billion copies. And they were concerned that someone with so much influence and such a huge following, that if he started to say that communism was the way of the future, significant portions of the U.S. population in the early 50s would follow him and listen to him. And I was able to get through the Freedom of Information Act, those files on Adamski, which, you know, he actually says Russia is going to destroy the U.S. and then we're going to have 1,000 years of peace under Russia. That's literally what Adamski said. And U.S. intelligence was deeply worried, not because he was just some obscure guy, but because he was selling books in like almost like the quarter of millions, you know.
That's a lot in those days, especially. It would be quite a bit now, too.
My 50 books combined don't even come anywhere near a quarter of a million, you know, never mind one.
Wow.
50 of them don't come close. But, yeah, I've got a ton of really intriguing stuff. How, for example, like the Australian intelligence services were looking in the 50s into how a number of Australian UFO research groups weirdly seemed to have a lot of communists contained in them. These were not sort of like Reds under the beds, McCarthyism hysteria. It turned out these stories were true. And the Australian intelligence services, the ASIO, they came to wonder if some of the people in these groups had been turned and were being used for obscure Soviet programs and things like this. Yeah, so that one will be out sort of April-ish or thereabouts.
Did they say that, you know, did the Space Brothers say that the Russians should also stop their nuclear testing? Or, you know, because when you listen to this agenda that's there, it is sort of socialist, isn't it, in a way, that the whole Space Brother world unity type of thing. And it's always, well, you know, the United States should stop nuclear testing. Well, what about the Russians?
Well, now that's an interesting thing because they did not, you know, recommend that. And also the Aetherius Society, one of the early contactee groups, I should say. The Aetherius Society, which was formulated in London, England, I got hold of surveillance files on them from the intelligence branch of the UK police force, which is called Special Branch. They deal with like terrorism and counterintelligence and things like that. And I got hold of Special Branch's files on the Aetherius Society and George King, who created the Aetherius Society. And the Special Branch was deeply worried because the Aetherius Society was saying that we need to take a lead, the UK, and just get rid of our nuclear weapons so that basically the Russians will know that we're okay, you know. And Special Branch was extremely worried about that and very worried that the Aetherius Society had been infiltrated by Soviet personnel or, for example, people in the United Kingdom who'd been, you know, come around to the idea that communism was good and that they could be used. But it all came down to Special Branch having fears that the Aetherius Society or people within it were essentially spreading tales about how we need to get rid of our nukes, and that if the group developed more followers and the group grew and grew, more and more people might come around to this idea that, well, perhaps we should get rid of our nukes first, you know, just for as a goodwill kind of sign. There was so much of this going on in that period of watching people in ufology for fear that they'd been recruited for various bizarre reasons. I even got some files. This is like a bit of a scoop, that the FBI at one point was looking at the idea that the MJ-12 documents, the original ones, were fabricated by the Soviets as a means to reel in people who worked in the military aviation industry. You know, we'll give you these MJ-12 documents on Roswell. Tell us what you're doing in relation to stealth technology. And the theory that one of the theories they were looking at was that this sort of dangling carrot of the MJ-12 documents was actually like sort of a KGB creation.
Interesting. So the whole contactee and maybe even the MJ-12 is some kind of Russian psyops.
Yeah, and the whole point too, kind of recruit people who could sort of reveal to them legitimate military programs. Most all the information I've found suggests that the Russians could not have cared less really about real UFOs, but they cared everything about using people in ufology who may have careers in the defense system, who could have been in a position to share legitimate high-tech military secrets. And you can well understand how somebody who works in the field of, you know, high-tech secret aviation, but in their free time, they've got this deep fascination for the UFO subject, and they're suddenly approached late one night, you know, they're having a drink at the bar after work. This guy comes up and says, hey, we've got some information you might like about Roswell. All you got to do in return is just bring a few files back home from work. The Russians would get something really juicy. Would you be willing to make a deal? The guy says, well, what's the deal? But we'll provide you with real classified documents on what happened at Roswell. In return, you know, maybe you can tell us something about the latest stealth programs. The guy, after a few more drinks, decides to go along with it, and then he's compromised. You know, the conversation is recorded or filmed, and he has no way out. He's blackmailed now. Okay, here's your MJ-12 documents. Do what you want with them. Here's what we want, and you better get it to us every Thursday night, you know, that kind of thing. And in that sense, what U.S. intelligence was worried about was that people would fall for this, you know, and under certain situations of blackmail, things like that, and they would be forced to give information back. Okay. It basically comes down to the Russians using the UFO subject as a means to gather U.S. military secrets.
Nick, where do we find more of your stuff?
Well, I have a blog called World of Whatever. Just type in Nick Redfern, World of Whatever, or Twitter, Nick Redfern UFO. And you can also find me on Facebook, and all the books are available on Amazon. And about two-thirds of them you can get off the shelves in Barnes & Noble.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Look for the Paracast Fan Clubs on Facebook. Look for the Paracast Plus, where we offer a version of the show free of the network ads, the After the Paracast podcast, which is just getting better and better and better. And Nick will continue this discussion on this weekend's After the Paracast. All this for prices starting at just $1.49 a week. $4.99 a month. We have 5-year and lifetime subscriptions where you get free stuff. Who doesn't want free stuff, right? To learn more, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. Nick Redfern has been a romp. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you again for joining us on the Paracast.
All right. Thanks, guys.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protective building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutraMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com, or call our order line 888-212-8871.